and ask God just to do his thing.
Thank you,
and he
Jesus.
Will do it. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the ability to come here and to worship at your feet. And Lord, the blessings that you have poured out upon each one of our lives and upon this body. Lord, all the great prayers reports that we've been hearing. Lord, we thank you for that right now. Father, we thank you for those children and everybody else that has graduated and moving on in their lives. And we give you praise for that. May we never grow content, especially with knowing you. Now, Father, we pray for Pastor John right now. Lord, as he has studied the word, as he has prepared himself to bring it forth. Lord, we pray that you'd pour forth the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit himself and speak through him, flow upon him and to us. And Father, may we receive the word and be obedient to it. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. I know a lot of times I hear people talking about some of the kids that they used to teach in the class that are, you know, grown up now. And it's always a real pleasure to them, I know, as they're talking. They're saying, wow, I still remember those guys when they were real little. And the people, when we're the younger kids, they as they're growing up, they remember their teachers too. Just like I still remember all my teachers back when I was in school. And heck, that's ancient history. Not quite as ancient as Bob's, but it's ancient history. And I still remember those teachers, you know, and, you know, they do make an impact, and you can have a real opportunity to be a blessing into these kids' lives. Hallelujah. Well, I was thinking over this past week about how much I enjoy summer, the summer months. And one of the things that I like most about summer is the fact that the days seem so much longer because it stays light outside for real long. Sometimes all the way till 9:30. It's still light out at night. And it's especially nice on a summer day when the temperature is just right and the sun is shining and it feels so good just to get out there in the sun and feel those rays coming down on you. And the truth is that it not only feels good, but the sun shining on you actually is good for you. In spite of what we hear about all the sunblock commercials and all the doctor's warnings and all that, a certain amount of sun is good for us. God designed our body so that we actually need to be out in the sun on a regular basis. And in fact, as we go out in the sun, we get our daily dose of vitamin D3. And, you know, and if you don't go in the sun and you don't take that supplement, you don't get it. And that helps all kinds of parts of your body to function right. So it's good to be in the sunlight. Not to the point where we're fried crisp, but we do need to get out in the sun, get out in the light. Light in general is very good for us. And if you think about it, light is the first thing that God created. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. I mean, can you imagine what life would be like if there was no light? I remember I saw a movie one time about this guy trying to sleep in Alaska. You know, I don't know if you ever saw that. And there's like about a month or so of, it's not pitch dark, but it's not real light either. The sun barely comes up on the horizon. You don't actually see the sun, but you see a little bit of the sunlight, and then it goes back down. And that goes on for over a month, or you don't have any real light. But imagine if there was no light at all. It'd be awful to not see the world that God created around us, to see the beauty of this world, the mountains, the trees, the stars, your husband or wife, your baby, the little smile on your baby's face. It would be awful to be trapped in darkness. And thankfully, though, God did create light, and we all get to enjoy it. But there's another type of darkness that we as human beings have to deal with, And that darkness is caused by a lack of spiritual enlightenment. And it has to do with the knowledge and the understanding of God and who He is. To know God is to experience this light and to receive this light from Him. And in fact, as we get to know Him more and more, we begin to reflect this light ourselves. Knowing God makes us shine. And that's what we're going to be talking about here. You're going to see what I'm saying in a moment. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." God does not want His people, He doesn't want us, His people, stuck in the dark, walking in spiritual darkness, blind. To be in spiritual darkness means that our minds are blinded, our hearts are blinded, and we can't understand the truth of God. That is the result of darkness. To be in spiritual darkness means that we are under Satan's authority. And if you know one of his names, he's called the Prince of Darkness. Spiritual darkness, it means that we are a slave to sin. And sin is the work of darkness. It means that we are under the wrath of God, which is the fruit of darkness. It means that unless we change our course, that we are on the road to hell, which is a place of darkness. Darkness can be scary enough, you know, in the natural world, but spiritual darkness can be frightening. It can be awful. I can't imagine why anybody would ever want to be in a place of spiritual darkness. I can't imagine why anybody would not want the light of God. And yet God, who judges our hearts and knows the thoughts of everyone, tells us that unfortunately there are people who want to be in the darkness. John 3:19-21 says, "This is the verdict." This is the verdict. In other words, God has judged. This is the verdict. "Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and they will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he does has been done through God." At one time we were all part of the darkness, every one of us, but not anymore. Colossians 1:13 tells us that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, the ruler, the authority of darkness. Thankfully, that is not our life. It's gone. It's done with. Matthew 5:14-16, which is going to be our theme scripture today, tells us how far we have come once we have asked Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Savior. Now he has these words to tell us. In Matthew 5:14, and starting there, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Originally, it was Jesus who came into this world to be a light for us. And he stated, "I am the light of the world." He's the source of all our light. But now we are told that those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we can join Him in being a light to this world. We take part in, we're co-labor with Him as we shine this light. Jesus passed this light on to those who accepted Him while He was here. And then they passed it on down to others. And that light has continued to burn brightly down through the centuries. One generation has passed it down to the next. And now this light has reached us. Over 2,000 years later, the light has reached us. And now it's our job to pass it on. Just like we were talking about being a teacher, imparting light to our children, moving up in our education, growing in our education, learning new skills. You know, gives us the opportunity to be even more of a light. Right, Raquel? I mean, now you can even be more of a light out there. You know, with your skills. Ron and Maddie, Joe and all those who graduated. Going out into the world and using what we have to share our knowledge, to share, you know, sometimes it's the knowledge that we have that we gained through our studies, but see, we have the ability to add spiritual wisdom to that knowledge and take that worldly knowledge and turn it into something special as it's filled with the knowledge or backed up and supported by the knowledge of God, the light of God. So what we are is now we're like sort of like the Olympic runners, the marathon runners who would take the baton and they would run and then they would pass it on in the relay races. That's sort of us now. We take the light and we pass it on to the next one and to this one and to that one and to that one. We pass that light on so that it keeps spreading, so that the light is growing, so that the light of Christ is lighting the world. We can't be satisfied with just keeping the light burning just in ourselves. It's not enough. When we die, then our light dies with us. But if we let our light shine and pass it around and share it, then it keeps growing and going on long past us. That's why we have to see ourselves as the light of the world, just as Jesus Himself told us in Matthew 5:16, to let our light shine before others. In 5:14, you are the light of the world. Right, Fred? You're a light, aren't you? You're a light in this world. Betty, are you a light? Are you a light in this world? Donna, you're a light in this world, right? Troy, a light in this world. Carolyn, you're a light in this world. Donovan, Bob, I mean, look all around here. I mean, all these lights. You are all called to be a light in this world, to shine, to reflect the glory of God. So I want to take a minute and look at the nature or the character of light. First off, we know that God is light. The light will shine from Him. There won't even have to be a sun or any other light or moon. God Himself is light. He's the source of all light. And what light does is light exposes. Light illuminates. Light radiates. Light is energy. It's actually energy. Light is a form of energy. It has movement. We can see the energy, and it's light. The light is the energy, and we see it as light. And in fact, light moves so fast, it travels at 186,300 miles per second. That's how fast light travels. That's how powerful that energy of light is. Light was the first thing that God created because it's important. Before it was created, the earth was formless and void, empty, full of darkness. And it's a perfect analogy to us before the light of Christ came into our life. That's how we were. I remember my own life before I was saved. I was searching. I was looking. I felt this emptiness. It was this void in my life. There was this. It was formless. I mean, I was working. I was living, but there was something missing. There was this emptiness inside me. And then when I opened myself up to God, this light came into my life. And all of a sudden, that dark, formless, empty life had purpose. A real purpose. The Spirit of God entered into my life, and I was filled with new life. I was filled with a joy and a peace and, you know, a love and a purpose. True life. I was alive. And it's still the same. Without the sun, our earth would die. Without the light of Christ, we are as good as dead. Ephesians 6:8 tells us, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light." We were once so identified as darkness that it says that we were darkness. For you were once darkness. We weren't just in the dark. We were darkness itself. We were part of that darkness. We were spreading darkness with our life. But now, in Christ, it's totally changed. It's totally flipped around. A whole brand new paradigm. Now we are light. We're not just living in the light. We are light. Once we were darkness, we were in the darkness, and we were darkness. Now we're in the light, and we are the light. In the scripture we looked at in Matthew 5, Jesus compares us to a lamp. In those days, they used oil lamps. You know, they look like that, a little gravy bowl or the genie lamp, you know, that you rub. One of those kind of lamps. And since they didn't have matches, they didn't want to blow those out. It was sort of hard to get them lit. So instead of, you know, putting the light out when they were going to go to bed or when they were going to go out, they would just take an earthen bowl and stick it under the bowl to protect it and to darken the room. That way you couldn't see the light. And just like those lamps, we have to be lit by Jesus. And we have a source of fuel just like they had oil. We have an oil, and it's the oil of the Holy Spirit, which is an analogy throughout the Word of God. Oil is used as a representation of the Holy Spirit. And we're told not to hide our light under a bowl, but to put it on a stand so that the light can do its work and shine. What is that work? Well, I mentioned it a minute ago. And that work, our job, is to expose, to illuminate, and to radiate. And I'm sure there's more things we could find, but I'm going to look at those three just briefly. John 3:20 says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed." You see, light exposes. It shows what's going on in the dark when we shine the light on it. Light exposes evil. It shatters the darkness. And that's part of our job, exposing evil. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." You see, that's part of our job as a Christian, exposing the darkness, shattering the darkness, piercing the darkness. There was an old book called Piercing the Darkness. Great story. Evil, darkness, hate the light. They don't like the light. That's why people pay hush money to hide their evil deeds. Because they don't want them exposed. That's why blackmail works. Because people are afraid that their dirty deeds are going to be exposed, so they pay money, hush money, to somebody to hide the evil. The devil will try to blackmail you. But if we resist him with the light of the gospel, he will flee. We as Christians can literally destroy the works of darkness. We can. We can destroy the work of darkness by bringing the light of Christ into situations, into the things that we're dealing with, into wherever it might be, at home, in our work, in our neighborhood, wherever we're involved in something. When we expose it, when we bring light into that situation, it exposes the evil. Once the evil is found out, it's dealt with. In our own personal lives, there are times when we're battling sin. And that sin is trying to gain control in our life. And we deal with it, and we can't seem to get over, and it's like coming after us. But if we go to someone that we trust and bring it up out of the darkness and expose it to the light, we've just taken a major step towards victory then. The light also illuminates. Ever try to walk through a dark, unfamiliar room in the dark? I mean, you know, it's late at night, you walk in and you go in there and it's, you can't see anything and you're trying to stumble, you're trying to get into bed at night. When I do that, if I don't have a light, I'm always stepping on something. I'm always banging my toes. I'm tripping over stuff. I hit the phone wire, pull the wire off, the phone off the table, and, you know, all kinds of noise and, you know, stubbed feet. So, you know what I do? I bring my phone in and I turn the little light on. The light illuminates. And I don't go crashing down and knocking things all over the place. One of the ways we trained to search, trained for search and rescue when I was a firefighter, was we blacked out our mask. We had these face masks on that we used for our Scott packs, and we would take them and literally black them out with a marker. And we had to leave that mask on as we learned a system. And then we had to go in and practice that system in a room that was all set up, and we had to find certain things within that room, and we'd have to have this black mask on. And you'd be surprised how easy it was to get lost and disoriented in the dark. It's amazing. You think, well, that's not going to happen. But it does. Because you can't see, and it just takes one little slip-up. And before you know it, you're not sure, was it to the right or to the left? Did I turn around? Did I go around that corner the right way? And then you start thinking, then you start second-guessing yourself, and before you know it, you're making all kinds of wrong moves, and then you finally give up, you stand up, take off your mask, and say, I can't believe it. It's so easy to lose our sense of direction when we're in the darkness. Some people are lost in the darkness all their lives, unable to see the truth, deceived by sin. But when the light is turned on, when God's truth comes in and that light is turned on, then things are revealed. All of a sudden, everything begins to make sense. There's an illumination. It's just like when that mask, that blackout mask, is taken off. All of a sudden, wow, everything I was trying to figure out, now it's plain. I can see it. Now I can study it for a second. I can go right back in there and do it. You think. Until you go in there with the black mask on, you'd be surprised. You get lost again. See, that's just a little hint. As Christians, we think we know it all, but if we walk in the darkness again and we allow that darkness to come into our life, we can get lost again. We can get deceived again. we can fall into sin again by allowing the darkness to overwhelm us. Psalm 119:105 tells us, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. See, that word is a light to us. God's word, his truth, is light to us. We can share God's truth and biblical principles in any situation that we encounter. You know, we don't have to quote chapter and verse. I don't always remember what chapter, what book, or what verse or something is in, but I know the word. I know, you know, I can quote a lot of scriptures, and I can, you know, I have a good understanding enough to maybe paraphrase it and give, or maybe I understand the principle behind it, and so then I can speak out that principle, that truth, and I don't have to go in and say, well, you know, you're doing that wrong according to John 7:13, you know. I mean, that's sort of, a lot of times it actually turns people off. But if we use that same biblical principle and we just explain to them that truth, they're more willing to receive it. And then as they begin to respect you and are able to receive from you and they know your background and that you're a Christian, then they will be able to receive God's word. Maybe by chapter and verse then. Maybe they'll want their own Bible. The lights of this world, you know, the sciences, the philosophies, the literature, the arts, the, you know, the social experiments and the political correctness, the human knowledge and wisdom, they lead us on an endless voyage to nowhere. They really do. You know, it may look good for a while you're traveling down that highway, but if you're following those worldly wisdoms, the worldly light systems, they eventually all lead to death. Think about it. Evolution, abortion, euthanasia, you know, all these different things, all these world, the world knowledge, the world systems, the things that come out of the hearts of man instead of from God. There's no life in them. They might seem good for a while, but without God's truth, sooner or later they go off the path. We're so blessed to be able to have God's light in our life and be able to respond to God's call to us. He's got a call into us. We're on a mission from God. We're just like the Blues Brothers, you know? We're on a mission from God. And our mission is to spread that light wherever and whenever we can. That's our mission, should you choose to accept it. And it's not mission impossible. It's mission possible with God. Remember, all things with God are possible. Another thing that this light does is radiate. It radiates out. Just like you stand in front of your stove, it radiates heat. You stand in front of a fireplace, especially mine, it radiates a lot of heat. Anything that sunlight touches receives energy. You can feel the heat. You know, you lay something out in the sun and touch it, it gets hot. Because energy has gotten into it. That's how a photovoltaic cell or a solar cell works. It captures the sun's energy and it transforms it or turns it into electricity, into energy. And the energy, this energy is visible. We see it as light. We can feel it. We can feel it as heat. We can see it as it turns on power, as it runs batteries, calculators, solar, you know, things out, those things you see down the road telling you you're speeding. They tell you the speed limit and how fast you're going. Those are run by solar power usually. Well, God wants us also to be a visible representation. He wants us as light to be a visible representation of His light. We take His light, His energy, and it radiates out from us in the form of good deeds. That's how people can see that light in us, through our good deeds. Now Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So this isn't my idea. This is what God is saying. If you want to shine that light needs to come forth in good deeds that people will see. Remember, the lamp is supposed to be put on the stand so that everyone can see because of the light. We don't want to be the light that people can see in the sense that they only see us. We're the light so people can see the truth. The whole idea of being light is not so we can say, look at me, I'm light. I'm wonderful, I'm godly, I'm holy, I'm righteous. Look at me. That's not what it's all about, being light. We're the light so that we illuminate the truth of God. We take it and we bring it into a situation. There's a saying that someone once said that there can be no such thing as a secret Christian. Either the secrecy destroys the Christian or the Christian destroys the secrecy. Well, let's hope that we destroy the secrecy of our Christianity. That everybody that knows us knows that we are a Christian. I mean, we don't have to beat them over the head with it, but we shouldn't be hiding it. We should never hide the best thing in the world that we have. The only thing in the world that really matters. Why would we hide that from somebody? We wouldn't hide the best restaurant we ever found. We wouldn't hide the best movie we ever saw. We wouldn't, hide the best, place to invest in, or the best place to go get help, or the best, Photoshop, or the best, app for your phone, or whatever it is. We tell people when we find something good. Well, why should we hide being a Christian? We shouldn't. What good is a flashlight if we never use it to light up the dark? God wants us to be a visible people. Our goal should be to shine as Christians. Not so people will think we're so great, but that so people will be able to see a great God. The great God that we serve. Our habits, our manners, our work, our marriage, our relationships, every area of our life, there should be some light flowing out of that. I know we're not all perfect. I don't mean all of us are perfect like some are. I mean none of us. There is no one of us that is all perfect, that is perfect. We've all got flaws, but we've all got light too, right? We've all got a measure of light. We all have a measure of God's truth within us. We have a measure of, good things stored up in us from God. And we should be able to let those things come out and be seen so that people will recognize there's God in there. No one can see our faith. No one can see our love or our prayers or our hope unless it shines forth in some tangible way, some way that it illuminates. That's why James 2:26 tells us that faith without deeds is dead. What good is faith if nobody ever sees any result of that faith? What good is love if we never touch anyone with that love? What good is hope if we never express our hope in God to anyone? What good are all these Christian beliefs of ours if they're never shared? If we never use them to show others Christ? People need to see the light of Christ shining in us. We need to be a living, walking, breathing Bible for them to read. That's what we want to be. The closer we get to God, as we draw close to Him, the more we experience His love and get hold of who He is and understand His character, then the more we're going to shine ourselves. And more, the more we'll bring glory to Him. Our good deeds can only help light the way of salvation towards other, for others. You know, the more people see God in us, the more opportunity, the more likely they will be to want to be able to come to God themselves. It will help light the path towards salvation. When our deeds or our words and our actions are spoken in love, they will destroy the lies of the enemy. All around, we're surrounded by the works of the enemy, by the lies of the enemy. It's all around us, everywhere. But when we operate in love and our light, the light of God shines through us, through love, we're going to destroy those lies. Walls will come crashing down and hurting hearts will be open to the love of God. And that's what we want. That's what we should want. I hope that's what you want. Our good deeds should be done because of our obvious love for God. People should get an understanding of that. Why is it that you're such a good person? How come you're always happy? How come you're always smiling? How come you're always so nice to everybody? How come you're always so up? People should see that in us. And that gives us an opportunity. It says, always be ready to give the reason for the hope that lies within you. That's a scripture. That's God's word. Always be ready to give the reason for the hope that lies within you. How come you're like this? How come you're like that? Because God's, you know, I put my trust in God because God's blessed me in so many ways. Because, you know, I love the Lord. Because God has touched my life. Because God has healed me. Because God has blessed me. You can say it 100 ways. Whatever way you're most comfortable with. But somehow get it out that it's because God something, something. And when we do that, when we make it obvious, that's why we're who we are and why we do what we do, when we're not afraid to let people know that it's because of God, then what happens is it brings praise to God. Our light was designed to point to Christ, never to ourselves. So our light, our actions, should always bring, you know, point to Christ and bring praise to Him. That's why it, you know, it told us right there in that scripture. That people will see our good deeds and it will cause them to praise our Father in heaven. As we go about our days, we should always be on the lookout for opportunities to do good wherever we can. Pastor Don mentioned that here, you know, just this morning, that, you know, oftentimes we let those opportunities slip by. We should actually be looking for them. And preparing ourselves for them. Okay, I'm going over here today. I might see so-and-so. You know, usually they like to talk about this, so you know what? I'm going to be ready. I got an answer for them already. I got some thoughts, and we don't have to be too rigid in what we're thinking. Just be open, be, you know, ready, be maybe study a little bit, be ready to share two or three different scriptures, and maybe one of them will fit. One last point. When God first created light, it tells us in the Word that the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of creation. It says, and the Holy Spirit was there hovering over a formless void, over the emptiness, over the darkness. There was the Holy Spirit just sort of hovering, just floating there, you know, just there, His presence there, getting ready, ready to do whatever needed to be done. When we became a Christian, when our formless emptiness, spirit, soul, mind, thoughts, heart, when it was all disturbed and dark, the Holy Spirit was there. He's the one who brought conviction, convicted us of sin. And He's the one who revealed God's truth to us. And even now, as we go forth into the world, And as we are that light, and as we go forth to shine as that light, to bring God's truth into our world, to bring His glory into this world, to share His name, to share who He is, we need to always be led by the Holy Spirit. See, this is where the problem comes in, where some people drive you nuts. And some people are hard. Some people are legalistic. Some people are wishy-washy. Some people are totally mixed up and have it all wrong. The reason all those things are happening is because they're not being led by the Spirit of God. If we are being that light, the light of Christ, and letting our light shine in the world, and the oil that's in us that's making that light burn, just like we talked about the lamp that we're supposed to be, if that oil within us is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who's causing this light to shine forth, and remember, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So if we're led by Him, and if we're letting the Holy Spirit cause that light to shine in us, we're going to see results. We're going to see darkness destroyed. We're going to see lives saved. We're going to see truth revealed and darkness shattered. Lies exposed. Walls coming down. Those are the kind of things you will see in your life as you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and to be that light in you. Remember, it's God's light. And He's just revealing Himself. That's what He's doing. Remember the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:4, he said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power," the Holy Spirit. It's never our human wisdom, it's never our fleshly good deeds that are going to transform other people, or ourselves, or our society, or our world. They're without power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. "It's not by might or power, but by my Spirit," says the Lord. We're the lamp. We're the lamp. We're a vessel, a tool to be used by God. We're the lamp. God has filled us up with His Holy Spirit. He's filled up the lamp with the oil, that's us, with His Holy Spirit, and He's lit us, and now He wants us to be up where we can light, and it will cause other people to see the truth. That's what it's all about. So people can see Him. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. If I could have the prayer team come forward. You know, we can prepare ourselves, study to show ourselves approved, be prepared in season and out of season, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. The Scripture is very clear that we are to prepare ourselves. So we study. You know, we learn. We get ourselves ready for the opportunities that are coming. You know, there's only so much time in life. One day your clock runs out. Your expiration date will be coming. And you'll be done. And you don't want to waste that life. You want to make the maximum use. You want to make the most out of it. Because I guarantee you, the more you allow God to work through you, and the more you, you know, see His blessings passed through you onto others, the more you yourself will be blessed. That's just the way it works with God. When we become a vessel of blessing, we become the blessed also. It's just like if you're a teacher. We talked about everybody being a teacher. The one who does the teaching is the one who learns the most. Always. Always. The one who does the teaching is the one who does the most. When you become a true blesser for God and you're just blessing everybody for God and you're being that light and always trying to share the light of God, you yourself will be blessed. Day in and day out. But when we try to gather everything to ourselves, when we only concern ourselves with ourselves, when we're consumed with our own self-good and our own selfish ambitions or our own self-advancement, and we don't worry about others, we get corrupted. We shrivel up. We begin to grow inwardly, and it's not good. God created us to be outward people, giving people. Freely to give. Freely you have received, freely give. Those who give will receive even more, pressed down and running over. You can't outgive God in anything. In anything. So let's go before the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for your light, the light that you have now put inside of us, Lord. And I pray that each one of us would see ourselves as a reflection of you, as a light for this world, Lord, that we ourselves would allow ourselves to be those lights that are up on the lampstands, so that we can light the way and point the way towards the truth of your word, the truth of salvation, the truth of forgiveness, the truth of repentance. Lord, help us to be that light every day, in every way, in every situation, in every place. Help us to be that light. Help us to draw close to you, to continually be refilled, restored, renewed, refreshed, so that that light will burn bright in us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share in the work, to share in your good work, to seek first your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for this blessing, to be a blessing, Lord God. Thank you. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each person here and each person hearing this word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great day. God bless you.
If we're to be the light that shines forever.